Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
Can an azalea come back to life? That's what Pat from Bloomington hopes. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences, his name is Patrick Murphy. Hello there, Murph.
Hi, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, we are taking a question from Pat in Bloomington. She submitted this on our website. It's wglt.org/grow is where you go to fill in those forms. And Pat says that she has some azaleas, and she's hoping one of them, which died, is going to magically come back to life and pull a Lazarus on us.
Yeah.
2.5 years ago, she planted them in November. They rooted, they grew, they bloomed, and they grew some more. And then this year, she says, after the bloom and new leaf growth, one of them started to shrivel up. The leaves curled in, as in very cold weather. She watered it. She put plant spike fertilizer. She pruned. One of them is very beautiful. The other is very dead. Now, they are approximately 12 feet apart in a very protected and shady part of her backyard. So what's going on? And is there any chance Pat could get this azalea back?
There's a chance, Laura, but it's a slim one. It's a slim one. So listen, Pat, I want you to know that you and I and lots of gardeners share an appreciation for the azalea and rhododendrons. They're kind of like siblings in a family. There's minor differences between the rhododendron and the azalea, and it primarily consists of some of the anatomy of the flower. Some of its flower parts are different between a rhododendron and azalea. Rhododendrons are almost always evergreens, leafy evergreens, except for one minor exception. And azaleas are oftentimes deciduous, but they can also be evergreen. And I think that Pat and I and other gardeners love them because of their flower. And it's a very delicate plant. And when gardeners are polled or asked to offer what is the flower they admire the most, very, very often it's the azalea and the rhododendron that are most admired by gardeners.
Well, no wonder she's chagrined about possibly losing this one.
Yes, and you know, they're similar to other broadleaf evergreens that are in the garden, broadleaf evergreens being, say, holly or boxwood.
Mm-hmm.
What they have in common is that they're very slow growing, so that when you do find them for sale, they cost a little bit more than the other plants, and that's largely because the production time is increased because of that slow rate of growth.
Okay.
Yeah, I said that backwards. But I can tell you that it's usually not a good sign when you lose the leaves on any plant, particularly an azalea or a rhododendron. And
mm-hmm.
as far as the leaf curling goes, sight unseen, that's oftentimes a symptom of a condition related to root rot. And, you know, what happens is if she was to dig up that plant in the early stages of its decline, and it's not something all gardeners are willing to do is dig up the plant, because that would, you know, that disturbs the plant.
Absolutely.
But if you've got one thriving and one that's not thriving, you may need to take a look at the one that's not thriving. And if you dig that plant up and you take a look at the roots and the little root fibers, you want to see white or light colored fibers in the root system.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't see that, there's an indication that the root rot has taken a hold of the plant.
So that's it. I mean, once root rot is in there, that's all she wrote?
That's all that you've got. You know, all you can do after that is maybe move the survivors into a new location.
Mm.
Rhododendrons and azaleas love shade. They like a moist but well-drained soil, and they like soil that's on the acidic side. You know, they have the testers and stuff that you can buy at the garden center. They have those bands on there, so you could find another spot for your azaleas or rhododendrons that are suffering from the root rot or other fungal things that attack the leaves. That would be the first course of action.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, it's help for azaleas, specifically help for Pat, who's having trouble with her azaleas.
Right. And, you know, I know that over the last few years in the Midwest, we've had conditions in the spring that were favorable for fire blight.
Oh.
And I can say that from the years of working as a landscape professional and dealing with these questions from customers, routinely. You know, the questions kind of come in at a predictable time. I can say that it's not uncommon for this to happen, and I'm actually dealing with some setbacks on a dwarf rhododendron colony I have planted at my house, and I'm trying to use some fungicide to try and help what's attacked the leaves. And I know that because these slow-growing, sensitive plants are particular, the treatment alone may be the last straw, you know, because the treatment for some conditions actually puts a little bit of stress on the plant.
So it's like the medicine kills the patient.
In a sense, in my case, not so much in Pat's. So if you have a rhododendron or azalea and all of them have curled up, that means that those leaves aren't working and they're not collecting sunlight, and the exchange of gases and photosynthesis is not occurring, and the plant is on a slow but certain slide to senesce. Yeah, to senesce or for its life to end.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go online or you get your favorite gardening books out to try and learn something about this, and it's frustrating because oftentimes in the treatment category for any rhododendron or azalea problem is select resistant cultivars. So, you know, that requires some research too.
Yes.
You know, there's so many kinds, and that's another point about the azaleas and rhododendrons, Laura, is they hybridize within their own little colonies. So if we were fortunate enough to go out to Martha's Vineyard and see parts of the East Coast into the Appalachian Trail, you can see the rhododendrons and azaleas growing wild in the countryside.
Uh-huh.
And it is a sight to behold. It is gorgeous. Mountains covered with little white snowball flowers in the spring. That's really something to see. And if you've never seen it, take a look at it. But that brings us to why we love them so much. But while they're in that environment, they're exchanging things and hybridized varieties occur. You know, that's how we get different shades of white and different shades of red and oranges and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're a plant that has some challenges in the landscape, particularly in the Midwest, you know, because where they occur naturally on the eastern seaboard of the United States and Japan and the mountainous high elevation portions of Korea and Asia. That's where these plants occur naturally, and if you can imagine, our conditions here are greatly different than they are in the eastern seaboard and out in the Asian areas, and it's the heat of the summer and the soil
and
conditions that give us some challenges.
So if Pat decides she wants to replace this plant, let's say it's done, story done, how does she make sure she's going to get one that's resistant to all kinds of stuff?
A lot of the commonly available rhododendrons feature that. So PJM rhododendron is one that has high levels of resistance. Another way to do it, and this is a way that a lot of people do not take very often, but get on the phone and talk to somebody at your favorite garden center, or to a garden center that might not be your favorite only because it's a short drive away.
Okay.
You know, it's like here in central Illinois, I always consider Prairie Gardens a great place to get plant material, but it's in Champaign. That's an hour away. Get on the phone and talk to them and let them know what you're seeking. If they don't have it then, they might have it in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And because the people that are selling plants to the public, they want to know what's going on. They want to know, hey, I had a bunch of Ramapo rhododendrons, you know, puke out on me, and I need a replacement for
those.
And
Nipagan can help people out very well here in Central.
Nipagans would be a great source for that,
They're
Laura.
A great source for that. So good luck with that, Pat. Hopefully you won't need to be replacing that beautiful plant. Next week on GLT's Grow, Bonnie and Normal needs help identifying a particular cherry cultivar. We have photos, which you'll be able to check out online, which is also where you can submit your gardening question. If you'd like Merck to tackle it, go to WGLT.org/grow, fill in the form, and send it along to us. That's WGLT.org/grow.